And a good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Willie Donick will be along in a little bit as they get ready for Predators and Oilers tonight. After a tough one last night on the road in St. Louis, which the Predators and the Blues, no score at the end of regulation, going to overtime. And unfortunately, the Blues were able to get the extra point. They score and skate away with the win. But a goalie battle for sure. Both goaltenders played excellent last night. Jordan Binnington gets his 100th career win in the National Hockey League. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Nick Kieser is back at the wholesale. Wow. That's going a ways back. He's back at the Game Nashville studio. Thank you. I mean, I called Jonathan Huberdeau. I mean, I'm just all over the place in the last few hours. But we're live at the Jack Daniels Barrel House today at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators will take on the Oilers. Coming up later on tonight, Max Herz will have pregame for you at 6. But we start with some sad news out of the college football world. And I got to be honest with you, I'm really, really bummed today. Mike Leach passing away at the age of 61. After having a medical issue over the weekend, he was taken to the hospital, and it was announced by Mississippi State University that he passed away this morning. And I woke up to that, and unfortunately, I think we all kind of knew it was coming. Things did not look good for Coach Leach, but I got to meet him for like 30 seconds at SEC Media Days one time. It was very, very nice. And obviously we know he didn't hold back in press conferences, was always entertaining, and it's just sad that Coach Leach passing away at 61. Hi, Derek.
Hey. I saw that this morning, and man, goodness.
Did you ever have any, like in your career, any interactions with him?
Never had any interactions with him. Obviously watched – his teams on several occasions, more than several occasions.
Sure.
He was one of those guys that I think if you got a chance to meet him, you enjoyed him. And if you hadn't gotten a chance to meet him, you wish you had.
Yeah.
Because it's like, is he exactly like what you see on television? And from what I gather, he was the exact same way.
And my favorite would be, like, the classic video is he's doing a press conference when he's at Washington State, and he gets asked about the mascots. And he starts going through all the mascots in the Pac-12 and, you know, what that battle would be like.
I remember that one.
And I mean, he's talking about a sun devil. Does he have mythical powers? And then somebody asks him about getting married, and he's like, you need to elope because here's what's going to happen. You know, all the women are going to freak out, and she's going to ask you your opinion, and you're going to give it, and it's still going to be wrong. I just kind of laid there this morning and watched old Mike Leach videos, and that made me feel made me laugh. But really sad, Mike Leach passing away at 61. A guy that I never got a chance to interview him, but I know he's been on this radio station several times. I know George, Willie, and Darren got to talk to him a lot over the years. He would always, come on with them. So just sad. I hate it for the kids too.
Uh-huh.
In Mississippi State, Will Rogers, Mississippi State quarterback, tweeted out a great tribute to his coach, and gone too soon. 61.
Oh man, goodness.
But
life is fragile.
Life is fragile. So hug your loved ones today. Life is too short, that is for sure. But as they say, the show goes on. But as I mentioned, quite the battle last night with the Predators. Mm-hmm. As 0-0.
You know, I watched the first two periods and a bit of the second period, and I just when I woke up, it was on a credit.
No.
It was Bally's.
It was one of those.
Yes. But that was a hard-fought battle. I mean, Bennington was great too.
Yeah.
But UC, I mean, goodness gracious, man. Both of the goalies, I mean, they held their own. And it's not like, you know, they were not getting tested throughout the game. Especially, there was a point in the second period where it seemed as if, you know, the Predators were on, you know, they're in the other end of the ice. And it just seemed like Bennington was, he didn't get a chance to rest. And, you know, the Predators were shooting from all angles. They were aggressive. They seemed like they had a pep in their step. But unfortunately, so did their opponent. But it made for a good battle. It really was. Unfortunate that they couldn't capitalize on their power plays. That was disappointing.
And that's an issue. I mean, that's a major issue for them, that they have to – and, I you know, I'm not telling them anything that they don't know, but that's something that they're going
to have. How many tries did they have? Four or five?
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they could not capitalize on either one. And it was disappointing. I'm sure they were disappointed too, because those were advantages that they should have, you know, that they should have capitalized on. And they didn't. So, you know, hopefully tonight they can do it. If indeed they get an opportunity to have four or five power plays. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right, we got this camera set up here at Barrel House, and I just looked at myself, and yeah, I definitely need hair club.
Damn. You need hair club, man?
No, yeah. It's,
well, I better not take off my hat then.
Well, I mean, no offense. You kind of threw in the towel a long time ago.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
but,
you're right.
You know, I'm like, man.
You're still trying to hold on? I mean, but you're holding on, Jay.
I got enough to hold on to, but still, it's just, like, it's concerning that we're kind of at this point. We'll talk to usually we talk to David Poyle at 11:15. We'll talk to Assistant General Manager Scott Nickel. Mm-hmm. Tim Hasselbeck going to join us at noon. Mitch Light at 1 o'clock. We'll get some college football thoughts with him. But obviously, the fallout from the Titans' loss to the Jags is not done yet. I mean, people are going to continue to react to that over the next few days. And you know, I had somebody say something to me last night. I want to know your thoughts on this, because when I woke up yesterday morning, I was like, there's no way they're going to L.A. and beating the Chargers. Okay. Now, I don't think the Chargers are all that great, but they won on Sunday night. I mean, they're fighting. Justin Herbert, I think, is a heck of a quarterback. They got to shore up a few things, and I think that team will be okay. But they're 7-6 too, just like the Titans. So it could be – you know, look, initially you kind of looked at that and thought maybe it's a toss-up game. But they've never played well against the Chargers dating back to San Diego when they would go out there. So I woke up and was like, there's no way they're going to beat them. Well, then somebody says to me, he goes, don't ask me why. But it was Ricky, by the way. Don't ask me why. But I think they're going to go. I just have this weird feeling that they're going to go out there and win.
Well, I mean, there is a there is an opportunity for them to go out there and pick up a victory, but I need to see the injury report headed into that game first. Because if you tell me that the same guys will be missing that was missing against the Jacksonville Jaguars, then no, they're not going to win. I don't think Mike Vrabel, Downing, and Bowen can put together a good enough game plan to beat the Chargers at their place because they don't have the depth, because they don't have the pieces to do it. When you have the pieces to do it, you can put together a game plan to go out and beat a team. They have not had any success playing the L.A. Chargers or the San Diego Chargers when they had to fly out to them. And there's nothing that's telling me things are going to be different, especially now because of the injuries. It gets to a point where your injury starts to affect the production out on the field. And we've seen it the last 3 weeks where, you know, they've been out coached, they've been out played, you know, they've been out physical. Everything that the Titans do to other people, they got done to them. You know, I was listening to Tom Brady yesterday, and he said either one or two things can happen when you go on the field. Either you get your tushy kicked or you kick some tushy. One of the two.
Right.
And for the Titans, it's been they've been getting their you-know-what kicked for the last 3 weeks. And if they don't have those guys back, I don't see how they win. I really don't. If they can't get production and big plays down the field, this team hasn't been able to prove the last couple of weeks that they can methodically move the ball down the field without messing up at some point.
Right.
So, you know, can they do? They have a chance to go out to L.A. and beat the Chargers? Yes, absolutely they do. Just like any other team. Just like Houston had a chance to beat the Dallas Cowboys this past weekend, and they almost did.
Any given Sunday. Henry on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans couldn't beat the Chargers if Billy Volek was playing quarterback for the Chargers.
Hey, Billy had a nice arm now. Billy had a stretch.
I think Billy beat them.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's referencing.
Yeah, you're right. I think we did beat him with Billy.
I'm saying I think the Chargers with Billy beat the
Titans. He did go to the Chargers after he left.
Yeah,
he was a backup.
Yeah, and I think he had to start, and I want to say he beat the Titans.
Oh, man. Well, Billy, you're right.
Or he came in or something. I don't know.
Absolutely right. But
I can't remember. I was at that game, I think.
Was it? It was here.
It was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
this is the year after I left.
Yeah,
I think a year or two after I left.
You'll like this. So I had pretty good seats. We were right behind the Chargers bench. And I yelled something at Volek because I didn't like how he how he left and all that stuff. And he had gone in and he threw a pick.
Uh-huh.
And I said, hey, glad you could finally find a Titan. And he heard me turn around and flip me off.
That's Billy for you.
that was fantastic. So, yeah.
But no, Ricky does have a point. They can win, but will they win? Considering, how this roster looks today. I don't know if they can go out to L.A. and do it. But, hey, we will see.
Yeah. We will for sure. There is a question on our text line that I want to bring to your attention, and it's based on something that happened last night. We'll do that coming up next. We're live at Bridgestone Arena, Jack Daniels Barrel House today for our Predators game day at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase, Willie, and D. Mace, presented by Hair Club. We grow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you at Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. All right, let's go to the text line.
Yes.
I think people still want to talk about the Titans and vent a little bit. So 615-737-1025. Unnamed texter says, Titans pass D is awful. Put $1,000 on Herbert over on passing yards. That might be a safe bet. So that could work. We're getting the ring light. Okay.
Yeah, all got right. A ring light. Yeah, man. Might as well use it.
Yeah. No, we're good. We got these spotlights.
Yeah, but the spotlights are still, I don't know. You're right, Chase. You are right about we had the spotlights.
But you don't know about it.
I can't, I can't.
I mean, it looks
back.
Cool because we got the game, the big game logo.
It does.
Yeah, but you have to remember, Derek has his own stream, Chase.
Yeah, oh, then we got Smashville at the top. I like it, man.
He's got Mason's stream.
Yeah, Mason's stream.
Something like that. Team 85. That's you got to join a club. There's a membership.
Hey, you can always join Chase. Your membership is lifetime, man.
I appreciate that. That's good. All right. So okay. Kyler Murray last night, first series, has a non-contact knee injury on the first drive. Doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Everybody pretty much believes it's a torn ACL. And so he's out. Colt McCoy comes in on Monday Night Football, and that's how that one would go as the Cardinals lose their quarterback and they lose the game 27-13 on Monday night.
Uh-huh.
So a texter on the text line, Ben, says Cardinals are poised for a complete rebuild. What's Derek's thoughts on the Titans getting Kyler somehow? This is where the fan base is at.
Kyler's not going anywhere. He just signed this massive contract. A lot of that money is guaranteed. Kyler is or Arizona is stuck with Kyler Murray for at least the next 2 to 3 years. So he's not going anywhere, and the Titans are not going to, you know, well, I don't believe they would try to make a trade and pick up that salary, because when you try to move on a player of his caliber with that contract, you have to give up a lot to get him.
Yeah.
And then you take on the huge contract. And Kyler Murray hasn't shown enough to me that makes me think he's going to change around the fortunes of the Tennessee Titans. It's just, I mean, I think he's a good quarterback, but I'm cool with Ryan Tannehill being here this year, next year. I wouldn't try to go out and get Kyler Murray.
I would rather, if they're
– I would rather them go get Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray just to be a backup until they figure out what's going on with Ryan Tannehill.
I'd be fine with Baker.
Yeah.
As a backup.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, I think the Titans are going to be at this point where they got a stick holding the window open.
Uh-huh.
That's what – and that stick is bending. Like, it's about to break.
Okay.
That's holding the window open. But Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback.
Ryan's not going anywhere.
For the next couple of years. Now, what I think is going to be the task of Mike Vrabel and the new GM is go find what's next.
Mike Vrabel and Mike Vrabel.
Ryan Cowden.
Mike Vrabel and Mike Vrabel.
Go find what's next. Because, I mean, and look, Malik Willis might be what's next. I don't know. He's got a long way to go.
He does.
I mean, he has got a long way to go before I can sit here and say, okay, yeah, that's the quarterback of the future. But I bring this up because I think this is where the fan base is at.
Uh-huh. And,
you know, I had this written down that I wanted that I was listening yesterday to all the reaction. I was listening this morning to the reaction that the fan base is at that point where there's all these ideas that are being thrown out there. And
exactly.
Some are good and some are not good. But they are at that point where they are so restless that they want to see some pretty major changes. Now, I had another thing that, you know, I kind of slept on and I thought about. And I've had, you know, my thoughts, and I've listened to your thoughts and Willie's thoughts and listened to the reaction. And then we have Raymond that says, I would take Hooker from Tennessee in the second round. And guys, I don't know how to tell you this, but the GM that got all the hurt players just got fired.
Yeah.
So
don't expect any more hurt players coming through here.
Like, come on. I mean, I love Hendon Hooker, but, you know, I second round? I don't think he was a second round period to begin with.
Now, if he falls to, you know, third round. I'm thinking about it. If he falls that far, you got to think about it as a GM, because again, that was the prior GM's pick, Malik Willis. The new GM may come in here and say, you know what, we want to go in another direction with quarterbacks, and they might just go out and get a quarterback in the second or third round. You just never know.
Yeah, you never know. But I think the fan base is at this restless point. And as I kind of slept on it, woke up, I'm starting to – and I didn't feel this yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I need to – I'm going to talk this out with you.
Okay.
I do think they're going to make a change at coordinator at the end of the year.
I think so too.
I didn't for a long time. I thought that he was just too stubborn. But the more I've kind of thought about things – and let, you know, new evidence come to light, the less I feel there was a power play. Now, do I think that he had some conversations with Amy Adams Trunk, being Mike Vrabel? Yeah, of course I do. I don't think you make a move like this without having some conversations.
Oh, of course.
You know, this whole I found out this morning, I'm not sure I buy that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, do I think he stormed into Amy Adams Trunk's office and says him or me? No.
I don't think that now.
I think that was a reasonable thing to think at the time. But listening to him talk, and you know, you can watch a person and read their eyes, and you know if they're lying or not.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Adams Trunk, listening to her talk to Teresa Walker of the Associated Press, on the, you know, whether it was an ultimatum from Mike, you know, it's kind of swayed me a little bit. And so, you know, I do kind of wonder, and I know Jared and Caroline talked about this some yesterday. I do kind of wonder if now Vrabel is on notice a little bit. Not that I think he's on the hot seat, but of she is invested in this team. She wants things to turn around, and therefore his loyalty to his staff might be to his detriment, because as a lot of people pointed out yesterday when they called in, Mike Mularkey got fired because he wouldn't fire Terry Robiskie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's to that point yet, but I do kind of think that Vrabel's going to have to look at things. And the biggest changes to me, and he has made changes before. I mean, mm-hmm. Since he's been the head coach, he's moved through some assistants. I think Aukerman was promoted to special teams coordinator after he fired the special teams coordinator. I'd have to double check that, but I think
that's
right.
And they still hadn't gotten anything out of
I would look at Todd Downing and Craig Aukerman. Those would be my big moves.
And, I mean, that wouldn't be a surprise to me if he did fire him. The firing of John Robinson, and we talked about it yesterday, it does put Mike Vrabel on notice. It really does. Because if it played out the way that Amy and Mike has presented it, then Mike should be worried.
Yeah.
He should be worried that if he doesn't get this thing on track, if she doesn't see any progress, that he will be next. Because regardless of what we may think and how good we may believe Mike Vrabel is, this team has not improved. This team has regressed since the AFC Championship game. You can't tell me no other different. Yeah, he's beaten teams that maybe he shouldn't have beaten, but when it comes to it, coaches are judged on what they do in the playoffs. If you are a consistent winner in this league, that's great. And we've seen winning coaches get fired year after year, or every 3 or 4 years, we see a winning coach get fired. And you ask yourself, well, why? Well, because when they get in the playoffs, they don't do anything. The measurement for a good coach or a great coach is, what do you do in the playoffs? Yeah, you're a good coach. I get that. And I always go back to Andy Reid with Philadelphia. Andy Reid will probably go down as one of the greatest play callers and one of the greatest coaches. But Philadelphia got to a point where they were like, listen, you are a really good coach, but we have not gotten back to where we were when Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens was on the team.
Right.
So we had to make a change. A new voice came in, and what happens? They win a Super Bowl.
Well, Andy Reid did too.
Well, Andy Reid, but he ended up going to Kansas City. Now, when you are a good coach or a
– He went to Kansas City and he got more power because he ran Dorsey off.
Well, the thing is that he had Patrick Mahomes.
Well, but that was his pick.
I understand that, but he had Patrick Mahomes. If he doesn't have Patrick Mahomes, he will be Philadelphia once again, but in Kansas City.
Yeah, but Donovan McNabb was pretty damn good.
I know, but what I'm saying is that they could never get over that hump and win that championship.
Sure. Right.
That's why Philly had to move on from him. So We see good coaches, really good coaches, and sometimes even great coaches get fired. Why? Because they don't produce in the playoffs. Mike Vrabel is the same way. We run around and we talk about how great he is, but look at his record in the playoffs.
Okay, I have a counterpoint for you, because this kind of goes back to the conversation we had yesterday when you asked if maybe Mike Vrabel has hit the ceiling, has reached his ceiling. I have a counter for you coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, we're live at the Jack Daniels Barrel House. Feel free to weigh in on this, 615-737-1025. More coming here on 1025, 106.3 The Game. They had a hell of a game plan against Baltimore, and they won that one. Mm-hmm. And they won that one fair and square. They got Baltimore on the right night. Baltimore underestimated them, and they got the win. Then they lost to Kansas City. And then since then, they haven't won a playoff game.
You want me to tell you something here?
Go ahead.
And people may be upset, may not be. And some people may say, you know what, you're absolutely thinking about it, you're absolutely right. And this may not be a popular take here. Maybe Mike Vrabel has reached his ceiling. Maybe he has reached his ceiling. This is all we're – what we saw 2 years ago is the furthest he can take this team. Because you got to remember, last year and the year before, was it the year before they won the AFC Championship game? I always get those years mixed up.
No, it's been 3 years.
It's been 3 years.
2020. So, or 1920. That's
so that period that he had, guys were healthy. Guys, the defense was just coming along. They started to play a little bit better. But then ultimately the next following season, that's when they really kicked in the beginning of defense.
That was Derek Mason on our show yesterday. Has Mike Vrabel reached his ceiling? 615-737-1025. That is our number if you want to weigh in on that. Here is where I'll take that about this whole conversation. Chase and Derek, Willie will be along here in just a little bit. I will say that maybe you're right with the players that he's had.
Yes.
The GM just got fired.
Uh-huh.
Whether you agree with that or disagree with that, what have you, timing, all of those things, all are more than fair. These are the players that Mike's had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
He had Mariota for a little bit, but he's mainly had Tannehill. He's obviously a Derrick Henry. Now, this defense has improved. He's had to work on that, and I think he's done a tremendous job with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the GM makes the decision to either not bring a guy back, not re-sign Jack Conklin, trade A.J. Brown. I mean, this is the team he's had to work with. So maybe Amy Adams Strunk looked at it as he has hit his ceiling with this team and these type of players.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give him and somebody else an opportunity to bring better players in here. I still want to see what it looks like when he has, you know, a Super Bowl caliber roster, and he's never had that because I think they overachieved the year they went to the AFC Championship game. I mean, think about it. New England's different.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Patriots, but the Patriots, I think, people would have looked at them as a better team. They weren't that night. But it was so clear that it was the end of the Brady Belichick era.
Oh, yeah.
That they got him. Baltimore was just, they had the right game plan. And Derrick Henry was a beast.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. And I was shocked. Like, I thought I was going to Baltimore at a place that you played a lot of games. And I was a little disappointed you weren't the 12th man. They had Trent Dilfer that night. But, they you know, they went there and they got him. But they overachieved. And then the next year, I think they underachieved. And then the year after that, which would have been last year, Cincinnati, they got the number one overall seed, which was a hell of an accomplishment considering the injuries that they had. But I think you could make the argument that they overachieved again, and then they underachieved by losing to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the roller coaster ride that is the NFL, but I still want to see what this looks like when you give him the proper roster.
Okay. I can go with that, but I always go back to they had the best offensive player in the NFL, and they couldn't get past the Baltimore Ravens. They had a back that should have been an MVP that year, and they couldn't get past the Baltimore Ravens. They had an offensive line that was pretty good that year. Well, they were damn good, considering Derrick Henry rushed over 2,000 yards, and they couldn't get past the Baltimore Ravens, okay? That was a good team. That defense just had started to come around. That was a good team, good enough to win a division. Good enough to, I think they were 11-5 that year, and they end up losing at home. Fast forward the next following year. They are the best team in the National Football League based upon their record. The best team. They had injuries just like everybody else had injuries. I know they had to deal with 90 players, but it wasn't like, you know, the starters never came back. And they had to use these 90 players on this roster, and he magically somehow took 90 players from other teams and off the street and put them together and done this remarkable job and got his team a number one seed. He had to use 90 players, but for the most part, that offensive line was intact. Their quarterback was there. Their receivers were in and out, but for the most part, you know, A.J. was there. Now, he did miss a few games, but he was there. Julio Jones is a different story. They should have never went and got him, but they did.
Right.
Even with all of that, they get into the playoffs. This is where the real coaches show up. They get into the playoffs, and what happens? The road to the Super Bowl goes through Nashville. I was about to say something else, but they pooped their pants flat out.
Yeah, because the quarterback threw three interceptions. That's not on the head coach.
It doesn't. Yeah, everything is on the head coach. Everything. Game plan, everything is on the head coach.
Do you think they were prepared to play that game?
I don't know if they were prepared to, or not.
Derek,
because
you play 15 years in the league. You can watch it. You can tell
if the team's prepared or not. I'm not going to say. Well, obviously they were not prepared.
They had 9 sacks.
But that don't mean that they were ready to go. That defense was ready to go, yes. But was the offense ready to go? Nope.
You're going to make me pull this box.
The Derrick Henry, and it was a coaching malpractice again. Why would you not run DeAndre Foreman? And he's been your bell cow.
That I will give you.
He's been your bell cow. You go back to Derrick Henry, which I get it, but Derrick Henry has missed 7 games already, 8 games already, and you expect him to come back and be the vintage Derrick Henry? You got a guy that's on a heater, and he's rolling, and you only give him the ball 5 times? That's coaching malpractice. That's arrogance.
Well,
so,
that was on Downing, too.
But no, that is on the head coach. The head coach could have said, "Hey, Downing,
put
Foreman back in the game. Let's roll with him, and let's go."
4 carries, 66 yards.
Exactly.
Including a 45-yarder.
My thing is, when you get in the playoffs, what do we talk about players? Big-time players show up in the playoffs. They give you plays here and there. Well, big-time coaches show up in the playoffs, and Mike Vrabel hadn't showed up since the AFC Championship game. And I'm only calling it how I see it. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, because he's a really good coach during the season. But I'm about to give you some numbers right here, Chase.
Hit me. Hit me with the numbers.
Do we think Mike Vrabel, who would you take, Mike Vrabel or Sean McDermott?
Well, look, Sean McDermott.
No. It is fair. Who would you take, Mike Vrabel or Sean McDermott?
MVP quarterback.
But his defense has never been good, really. From a statistical standpoint, if you watch Buffalo, and I've always said this about Buffalo, from a statistical standpoint, they're good. But if you watch them, they're not that defense. When you watch them against really good teams, they're not that defense.
I would take Vrabel.
Okay, you would take Vrabel. Well, Vrabel's record is worse than Sean McVay's in the playoffs, okay?
Sean McVay or McDermott?
McDermott. I'm McDermott. Sean McDermott. Matt LaFleur or Mike Vrabel?
Oh, I'm taking Vrabel because the only reason LaFleur is good is because he's had Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't care this year. So.
Well, I could say the only reason Mike is good because he got that vaunted defense in Shane Bowen.
Yeah, but that's his defense.
I'm just saying. I can say – no, that's Bowen's defense.
No, that's Vrabel's defense and Bowen's running it.
No, that's Bowen's defense. When Vrabel had to run the defense, how it looked? Tell me, how did it look? Okay.
It didn't look very good. All right. He had different players, too.
Sean McVay.
They have better players now.
You're right. They do have better players.
They have better players now.
Sean McVay or Mike Vrabel? That shouldn't even be a – you shouldn't even have to think about that. Doug Peterson or Mike Vrabel?
Oof. Now, that's a tough one because Peterson with the Eagles, that year they won the Super Bowl, it's Doug Peterson. But that look, he had a better team, but he also had Nick Foles, which was pretty impressive.
I'm taking Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson has won a Super Bowl. He's 4-2 in the playoffs. He knows how to get it done in the playoffs, okay? He has a winning record in the playoffs. Kyle Shanahan. Okay, and he has a better record than Mike Vrabel in the playoffs. Zach Taylor.
Vrabel.
Zach Taylor has a better playoff record than Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, but come on.
I get it. I understand. But
he's got Burrow.
Again.
Name all the coaches you just named.
Sean McVay, LaFleur, Sean McDermott, LaFleur.
MVP quarterback, MVP caliber quarterback.
McVay.
MVP caliber quarterback.
Peterson. Nope. Shanahan, nope. And Zach Taylor, yes. Shanahan had to work around a whole bunch of stuff.
I took Shanahan because he's done that with Jimmy G, and now he's got Brock Purdy.
But this is what I'm saying. I think Mike Vrabel is a good coach. I really do. There's no doubt about it. I would take him. If I had a team to coach, I would take him. But when we get in the playoffs, it has been a different story with this team.
But I feel like you're skirting past some of the personnel.
I'm just saying, but
the personnel matters, Derek. You, of all people, should know this.
I understand. Last year, they had the best record in the National Football League, and what happened?
The quarterback threw three interceptions in the playoff game.
Did they win or did they lose?
They lost.
Okay, the year before that, they were 11-5 or 12-4. I think it was 11-5.
I think it was 11-5.
And what happened? They had a playoff game at home. What happened?
They lost.
They lost against the Baltimore Ravens. What happened the year before that?
I somehow blame you for that.
What happened the year before that?
They went to the AFC Championship game.
And what happened?
They lost.
Okay.
But still, that come on.
My thing is, since the AFC Championship game, this team has not gotten better. They've gotten worse. Listen, again, Mike Vrabel is a good coach. Damn good coach. Okay? In the regular season. Damn good coach.
615-737-1025. Do you agree with Derek or do you agree with me on Mike Vrabel? This is a good discussion. We'll continue that next. Chase Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. We're live at Jack Daniel's Barrel House having a spirited discussion. Has Mike Vrabel hit his ceiling? D-Mace is asking that question. And he's named off coaches that are better than him that have franchise quarterbacks. So, you know, that's part of it, too. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Marcy on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Marcy, welcome in.
Hey there. I'm going to throw my bid in the hat. I agree with Nathan. I do. I think that he laid out the evidence perfectly. This is the same discussion I had with my daughter on yesterday. I do understand we got issues, and I don't believe we have a franchise quarterback yet, but the buck is always going to stop with the coaching. We do great in the regular season, and then the playoffs, we crash and burn. I'm like, how do we make it to the Super Bowl if we can't even get through the playoffs? Like, I agree. I agree with Nathan. It is what it is.
All right. Thanks for the call, Marcy.
Well, I mean, again, people, I am not sitting here saying Mike Vrabel is not a good coach. I believe he's a good coach. But ultimately, coaches are defined by what they do in the playoffs, just like quarterbacks are defined by what they do in the playoffs. I go to Dan Marino. Dan Marino was probably the greatest passer beside now Patrick Mahomes. But he doesn't rank amongst the greats when you talk about quarterbacks, period. Why? Because he didn't win a championship. He could not manage to get his team but to one Super Bowl. It's the same for coaches. You can go down a list with coaches sure. that we consider really, really good, but they never got their team to a Super Bowl or back to a Super Bowl. Jeff Fisher would be considered one of the greatest coaches in the National Football League had he won the Super Bowl or had he gotten the team back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But because that didn't happen, people don't regard him as that. We regard him as a Titan great, but from a national standpoint, they don't see it that way. It's the same for Mike Vrabel. If he does not get this team into the Super Bowl, he needs to win it, yes.
Sure.
But he needs to at least get this team into a Super Bowl. He will always go down as being a really good regular season coach. But when you get in the playoffs, his teams have not gotten where people think they should have gotten with the talent that they have. Yeah. I go back to last season. They were the best team in the National Football League. And many said that the road to the Super Bowl goes through Nashville. And that's a hell of a road to go through. And what happened? They poo-pooed down their pants and got put out in the first round.
They did. Look.
Year before that, second round. Well, second round last year, second round the year before that.
I don't dismiss what you're saying. that he's got to be better in the playoffs. My only counter is I don't think he – I'll use a quote from David Poile, and this will start the Preds fans. But uh-huh. I'll use a quote from David Poile that he had last year. I don't think he's been given all the tools to succeed. And what have we always said about Ryan Tannehill?
He's a good quarterback, but he needs people around him.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever had the true right people around him. He had A.J. Brown, yes. He had Derrick Henry, yes. But you go and get a – and look, I supported the move. It was the wrong move. But you go get Julio Jones, and it doesn't work. You were trying to give him more pieces. Didn't work. Couldn't stay healthy. Couldn't stay on the field. You didn't – you also – I would argue, too, that getting someone like Dontrell Hilliard, you know, at the end of last year and this year – has been an upgrade because I think you need that change of pace type back. And they didn't really have that. They drafted, what's his name, Darrington Evans, who uh-huh. couldn't stay on the field.
Yeah.
So that didn't work. That was a tool he didn't have.
Haskins doesn't quite know the offense, but now he's hurt.
Yeah, you had no tight ends last year. Mm-hmm. You let Jonnu Smith walk. You let Corey Davis walk.
But I'm not going to solely blame that. See, and I don't think you are either.
No,
I'm not going to solely blame that on John.
Sure. I'm pointing out I think we're both making good points, what I'm uh-huh. saying. I'm pointing out that there's some things that he's got to do better. Look, he's been stubborn on his staff. He has been – Todd Downey was the wrong move.
Yeah.
And he's been stubborn on that. And that could come back to bite him. But I also think that there's been the misses that John Robinson have also – you know, hurt this, have also not helped him along. Let's one text, Travis says, apples to oranges, personnel can make a good coach a great coach, in my opinion. Ask those teams you listed that those teams you listed were stacked. I'm with you, Chase. Give Vrabel one of those rosters and see what happens. I don't think Tannehill crapping the bed should define Vrabel coaching ability. You have to admit, Vrabel has pulled a lot of short straws compared to some coaches around the league.
Again, I can say that about Frank Wright in Indianapolis, but don't nobody want to hear that crap.
Sure.
They say Frank Wright is horrible. Titan fans, they keep him there because we keep beating them. So when we say it about Frank Wright, we can't say it about Mike Vrabel. Frank Wright's a horrible coach, but Mike Vrabel's a genius. Come on. Yeah, call a spade a spade. That's all I'm saying, is that if you think one guy is horrible because he has a horrible roster, then the next guy isn't doing the job either, and he has a – what you would say, a not-so-good roster. You can't say it on one end and then try to make excuses. I'm not saying you are, but I'm saying try to make excuses for the coach that's coaching your team.
Yeah.
I call a spade as how I see. I call
a
spade a spade.
You said this roster wasn't very good at the beginning.
Exactly.
Of the year.
I said this roster wasn't very good, and you see where they're at now.
Yeah.
Last year's roster was much better, and you see what they were able to do. But when they got in the playoffs, they – went to bed as they did the previous year and the year before that. That's all I'm saying. When you get in the playoffs, this is why I said yesterday, Mike needs to be on alert. Because first, usually it goes, we fire the coach, then the GM.
Right.
But Amy chose to fire the GM, and it should tell Mike Vrabel, listen, if this thing doesn't get corrected, you're gone too. Because you are doing good things inside the season, but you're not doing what needs to be done in the playoffs. Regardless of how you cut it, everything falls on the head coach, no matter what. And this team has not been successful in the playoffs since their AFC championship game. They've gotten worse, meaning they've gotten put out earlier. That's all I'm saying, and people are looking at it like, I guarantee you this, Chase. Give it two more years, and they're still in the same situation. Or next year, they're still in the same situation, and they don't make it through the playoffs.
Yeah,
guess what fans are going to be saying then? Fire oh, up. We should have got rid of them last year. Well, damn it, I'm telling you about it this year.
So you think they should get rid of him?
No, I don't think they should. But he should be on notice.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know how he couldn't be. If he didn't pull the power play and she fired John Robinson, it was truly only her decision, which, mm-hmm. again, I'm not sure if I 100% believe. Yeah. Then, yeah, you're right. He should be on notice. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Mike in Gallatin. Mike, welcome in.
Hey, guys. So, again, y'all covered a good chunk of what I was going to say here in the last few seconds. My main point was I feel like the team last year, we were the number one seed. But again, I feel like we benefited from, and again, we made some crazy wins. I'm not going to discount the Chiefs game and the Rams game and some of those big wins where our team just kind of pulled it out of thin air, out of nowhere. But again, the schedule wasn't as crazy as it was this year in terms of like the wins and losses and what we had. So we were set up there, and then we also had the still arguably the weakest division. So again, a lot of our wins we got from that situation. I think the team that rolled in the playoffs is the number one seed. While they're the number one seed in the league, I understand that. I still feel like you were looking at a very bad offensive line still, and a receiving core, I guess, outside of A.J. Brown, was still not where it should be. I feel like, again, the reason that J-Rob got fired because of the lack of the depth this team has is there. I think that if the Titans could benefit from having the Cowboys offensive line, night and day, we could have probably won the Super Bowl with the team we had last year with the Cowboys O-line or something else like that. But in terms of the way that I see the coaching situation and things like that, I see that the GM goes out and gets what they see as their franchise quarterback, the weapon. And I get that A.J., we had ours and A.J. Brown, and I completely feel like they kind of fumbled the bag, and a part of that might be because they don't feel like that Tannehill was the weapon. But Josh Allen got big. Dak Prescott got Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, however you want to take a look at it. They went out and got away the Eagles quarterback, they got A.J. Brown. The Titans and the Predators, for what it's worth, have never been able to, like, attract the super sexy free agent receiver or anything like that. It's frustrating because I feel like that sometimes we're sort of – it looks like, I guess to an average fan, it looks like you're penny pinching because, again, you're going out and you're saying somebody, and again, because I know the Predators' to current situation – like you go get Nino Niederreiter because you can't afford or you can't do any better than that when the other teams are scooping in the big huge free agent guys. So again, help me. You know where I'm headed.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Will continue this discussion coming up next. Weigh in 615-737-1025. Got a few texts to get to. Feel free to call as well. Justin, hang on the line. We'll get you coming up next. Has Mike Vrabel hit his ceiling as the Titans head coach? We'll continue that next. Chase Willie-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.